This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In January of 1989, in the middle of the 14th season of Saturday Night Live, a new featured player joined the cast, a Toronto-raised and Chicago-trained sketch comedian named Mike Myers. Even among a famously strong cast, Myers' character work made him a quick standout, especially as Wayne Campbell, a rock-obsessed slacker with a public access talk show filmed in his parents' basement. The recurring Wayne's World sketches starring Myers and Dana Carvey as his beta sidekick Garth would become as much an SNL staple as Weekend Update, and in 1992, the duo starred in the feature film version of Wayne's World, directed by Penelope Spheeris. Myers had successfully graduated from SNL player to movie star, and after following it with Wayne's World 2 and offbeat rom-com So I Married an Axe Murderer, in 1997 he co-wrote and starred in Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery, playing both the titular frozen-in-time British secret agent Horndog and the film's antagonist, a cue-ball supervillain named Dr. Evil, purportedly based on SNL kingpin Lorne Michaels. With a laundry list of catchphrases that would be endlessly repeated by annoying kids at school and annoying adults at work, the film became a cult hit and had a second life as a big seller on the new home video format of DVD. In 1999, the same summer as the much-anticipated Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, Myers released Austin Powers Episode II, The Spy Who Shagged Me, a mega-hit that would become the third highest-grossing film of the year, outpacing Toy Story 2 and The Matrix. The now franchise added more outrageous characters, including pint-sized Dr. Evil clone Mini-Me, played by the late Vern Troyer, and grotesque Scotsman Fat Bastard, played by Myers himself in clump-style prosthetics. And as the gluttonous bastard, Myers would make theaters erupt in laughs of recognition by singing a beloved chain restaurant jingle, expressing his craving for baby back ribs. The meaty earworm, in use since the early 90s by the Dallas-founded Tex-Mex eatery, would lead to a surge in rib sales when deployed by its marketing team. In addition to the Fat Bastard cover, was also sung by boy band NSYNC. While the song, much like Myers, has been less prominent in recent years, its status, like Wayne's World and Austin Powers, is entrenched in American pop culture history. As for the restaurant itself, today, 45 years after its first location opened, diners across America still respond like Fat Bastard himself, saying to its offerings, quote, "Get in my belly." This week on Doughboys, we return, once again, to Chili's. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, a man with a head so big he needs two cameras for a Zoom call, the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
All right. I mean,
that's you do like use barely, two cameras.
Isn't it supposed to be like a creative? Yeah, I know. We know this. We talk about it on the show.
He's saying the reason you're using two cameras is not your shoddy internet. It's that you have a head that's too big to be captured by
maybe,
one lens.
Maybe I just don't like it today because my head looks especially big.
Yeah, you do have a little bit of a jack-o'-lantern thing going on today in particular. What happened? Just a lot of salt, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. I got hit by the fucking Honey, I Blew Up the Kids ray this weekend and my head got bigger, you fucking dickhead.
Tim Sullivan sent that in. RoastSpoonMan@gmail.com if you have an insult you'd like me to use on Mitch at the top of the show.
Tim Sullivan, huh? Sounds like he's from my neck of the woods.
You mean Irish?
Yeah. Mm. And if he is, you better watch his fucking back.
Wow.
If anyone from the Quincy area sends in a roast I don't like, my Quincy boys are going to fucking beat the shit out of you.
Wow. Quincy on notice.
That's right. Unless it's my Quincy boys who send in the roast, and then, you know, what can I do?
Yeah, they send in a lot, actually. It's most of the email.
Nick, howdy-ho from Spoon Nation. And you know what? People are getting mad that we don't play the drops live. There's a reason we don't. It's technical.
Yes.
It's because also the internet is a little bit shoddy.
Yes.
And so we're going to try to play them live from here on out. I'm just telling people that now. I'm going to try to do it.
Do you mean today or do you mean after today?
No, not today. So for one last time, Nick, here's a drop from Tone Daddy, who writes, "Hi, first time making a drop ever. Enjoy. Spoon Nation with an exclamation point." I like it. And look, this is too long, but, you know, what are we going to do? I'm recording these separately, so here it is. It's a minute long, and it's a nice beat. Enjoy. Wow.
Wow.
What a drop that was.
So you said, "Here's a drop from," and left room for their name, and then mm-hmm. who writes, leaving a name, some space for their email, but at no point did you say, like, "Let's hear that drop."
It's cool. I'm sure I dropped it in somewhere.
Okay.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah?
Let's hear that drop.
Okay, I guess I dropped it in right here.
Grandma's freezer. Grandma's freezer. Grandma's freezer. Grandma's freezer. Grandma's freezer.
That's a good grandma freezer item. Frozen OJ.
Frozen OJ.
Frozen OJ. Frozen OJ. Frozen OJ. Frozen OJ.
What the fuck?
Frozen OJ.
Helen Donovan was a saint.
Frozen OJ.
Frozen OJ.
Frozen OJ.
Helen Donovan.
That's a good grandma freezer item.
Helen Donovan was a saint.
Grandma's freezer.
Frozen OJ.
Grandma's freezer.
Frozen OJ.
Grandma's freezer.
Wow, and if you have a drop you'd like to submit for the show, send it in to that email address, which you know is spoonmandrops@gmail.com.
That's right. One more time. That email address is spoonmandrops@gmail.com. All right, Nick.
I love how you open your mouth. It's a great commitment to that bit.
I told you, I'm hoping food flies in there.
We have a very exciting guest today. You can see him mm-hmm. Wednesday nights on All Elite Wrestling Dynamite on TNT. He is the bad boy, Joey Janela. Hi, Joey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming. People have been wanting me to do this podcast for a long time. I don't know. It's maybe because I'm chubby. I have no idea.
Man, if you're the standard for chubby, me and Mitch are in trouble.
That's it. I'm the wrestling standard for chubby.
Oh, got it. Yeah. That's like that is a thing. Having to have your shirt off all the time, which I think I can say you do now. On the Zoom call, is it like that's got to be a thing that gets in your head, right?
Oh, of course.
Or do you just, you don't even care about it?
No, it gets in your head, especially when you go from indie wrestlers. People like, all right, he's chubby. We don't give a shit. He falls off things. He's kind of cool. But
yeah.
When you go on TV, they're like, why the fuck would you hire this guy? But me. Like me at a bar with a shirt on, I look like a normal skinny guy, you know?
Right.
Oh, but in wrestling standards, I don't know. I look like, I have no idea. I look obese to them.
You're so beyond like a goal weight for Nick and, or even to be even yeah. just as built as you are. And so to us, that idea is crazy. But
the only scenario in which I could look like you with my shirt off is if I find some sort of artifact that grants me a wish. So I think you're doing all right.
You know what I'd do if I got that artifact, Nick? Nick?
What?
I don't know. I didn't know if you wanted to take a guess.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. I thought you were going to say something about me.
No, you know what I would do if I found the artifact?
What?
I was going to wish for a bigger head, so I'd have the biggest head of all.
Just be a walking lollipop.
Some Ripley's, believe it or not, in the book.
Show up in Greatest Showman, director's cut. Joey, I wanted to ask you, you are in Florida right now. You're living and working there. What is the food scene like around where you live?
I'm still in Jersey, actually.
You're in Jersey?
Yeah, I live in Jersey. I'm here in Florida. I just kind of just go with the flow, you know?
Oh, got it.
But the food here, over the last few weeks of me being here, the food is actually pretty good here. Of course, they don't have like the great pizza we have in Jersey, yeah. New York, or some of pork roll, egg, and cheese. I don't know if you guys know about that. That's a big deal in New Jersey. But yeah, the food here is not too bad. I went to some taco joint last night. It was pretty damn good. Capital Taco. It was pretty good.
Wow, Capital Taco. Florida has chains aplenty, right? There's any chain you could shake a stick at, basically, right?
There's definitely a lot of chains. Actually, I went on the menu for Capital Taco yesterday. I was looking at what I wanted to eat, and for some reason, they just had a picture of Jinder Mahal on there. I have no idea why. I guess he has
really?
A taco there.
Wow.
So, yeah, it caught me off guard. So
we're trying to get some sort of menu item. We're in the process right now of maybe getting an Ike sandwich, but
possibly in the works. We'll see.
We're just afraid that it's going to taste bad, and it will be appropriate for the menu item, but it would be a bummer.
But that's the American dream.
Yeah. So you're from New Jersey. You mentioned the pizza there. What is this pork roll, egg, and cheese? This is a sandwich I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube. It's kind of like the gold standard in New Jersey of breakfast sandwiches. You know, in LA, yeah. They have a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich and a lot of
right.
that. Pork roll is kind of a – it's also called Taylor ham in some parts of New Jersey.
Okay.
It's kind of a fried bologna. Kind of. I don't know what to compare it to. Someone compared it to bologna the other day. Now it's been stuck in my head. But it's kind of like a grilled fried bologna and the egg and cheese, and it's delicious.
And this is usually like a thing you can pick up at like a deli or like a place where you get coffee and stuff, right? Are they pretty widely available?
I think anywhere you can get breakfast, you can get a pork roll, egg, and cheese. It's like that's what New Jersey is known for. It's pork roll, egg, and cheese, which is weird. Yeah.
I've gone on kind of a deep dive with this Weiger because I heard of it, and you know, if there's something with pork in the name I don't know about. I Googled it for about 3 hours.
It's kind of like a thick ham. I
got it.
Yeah, it's good. It's great.
Is that your go-to? Like, if you're gonna get like an unhealthy breakfast, is that your go-to?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good quick one. It's like, you know, eat a pork roll, get cheese real quick, and you go on with your day. You know,
right?
So,
Wags, I was gonna share the screen and show you one, but you disabled screen sharing.
Okay.
You know, what are you afraid? I'm gonna show something during the fucking record.
Hold on, I don't even know how to use the advanced sharing options here.
Oh my god. Why are you in charge of the Zoom? Well, I mean, I get why you're in charge of the Zoom. I shouldn't even ask that question.
It should be Emma, but she's got enough to do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything about it being disabled.
I was doing Quincy trivia, and I was like, can I get the Zoom sign-in? Because I only have the 45-minute limit. And you're
right.
Like, actually, I signed up for the Zoom under my own personal email. And my question to you is, how many times have you used the Zoom to connect with family and friends?
Great question. Hasn't happened a lot. I did have a Zoom. I do have a periodic Zoom call with my parents and my brother and sister-in-law and their kids. But that is like, you know, that's it. I think Zoom for me has become such a thing about it's so work like related that it feels like Emma's nodding along that it does not feel relaxing if I'm having a Zoom hang with somebody. In the early days it did, but now I'm just like it doesn't feel I don't feel like I'm connecting with someone. I feel like I'm in the office.
Damn, Joey, I am jealous of your Florida background. It seems fucking nice over there.
Yeah, it's nice. Very nice. The weather's great.
Seeing palm trees. Blue sky. All right, and now we're seeing a screen full of pork. Mitch has successfully shared his pork roll, egg and cheese Google search.
Nick, actually, this is just my computer background. Hold on a second.
That is a toothsome looking chunk of meat. That big old thick ham.
It's thick. It's very thick. There's a sandwich by me, one of the most famous pork roll, egg and cheese sandwiches in all of New Jersey, about 10 minutes away from me, where they, I think there's about 14 slices of pork roll on the sandwich.
Wow.
This is a mammoth sandwich.
Damn, that one looks good. Yeah, these look really great. We gotta get one, Wags.
I'm curious to try it. I also like the name Taylor Ham. Taylor Ham, like that feels like you would hear about Taylor Ham and then find out she's like on TikTok with 1.8 million followers. And now this is like a name I have to know for some reason.
Let's see if there's any people that come up in a Taylor Ham search.
I believe it's the guy's name was his last name was Taylor, the guy who brought it to the forefront of breakfast.
Oh, got it.
So you could call it, some people call it Taylor Ham, and then the other half of the state calls it pork roll, and they argue with each other like idiots on which is right.
Here's a Taylor pork roll. Also, like a lot of there's a lot of like t-shirt. There's a lot of merchandising for pork. You got to love New Jersey for that reason.
I didn't realize how big this feud was. There's a t-shirt that says pork roll versus Taylor Ham. I had no idea this was like a ironically a beef over pork.
I think that's a t-shirt you can get at the Newark Airport. I think I've seen that there before. It's in that in the gift shop over there. So.
It's a North Jersey versus South Jersey thing. So I have to assume that you are South Jersey is where you're from.
I'm from like central. I'm like from central. I'm between Philly and New York City.
Got it.
So I'm kind of like the beginning of the shore. So I don't know. Some people call it pork roll. Some people call it Taylor Ham. I don't know. I just call it pork roll because that's what I've come to know.
So. You're right on the Jersey equivalent of the Mason-Dixon line.
That's it. I'm right there.
The pork roll Taylor Ham divide. I'm curious. So you mentioned pizza earlier, the New Jersey pizza. Like, what is New Jersey style pizza? Is it adjacent to New York? And what kinds do you like to get out there?
New Jersey style pizza is basically New York City style pizza.
Got it.
So you're getting good quality slice. Even that slice spots in New York City are better than most of the pizza in the United States.
Right.
So New Jersey has pretty good pizza. I think like top three states in the United States with the best pizzas, New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. So
wow. Shots fired at Illinois. Chicagoans will not be happy about that.
I like the deep dish. Don't get me wrong. Whenever I'm in Chicago, I do go to the deep dish spots and you know, munch down on that. But I think as far as just stopping into a pizza shop and getting a couple of slices, I think New York, New Jersey, Connecticut's the best, especially when it comes to quality. That Chicago deep dish is kind of that's a task.
Right.
It is. It's a day ruiner for sure. It's becoming really popular, especially here in LA, but Nick, and you love it yourself. That Detroit pan style is really great.
Oh yeah. Detroit. And there's a case for Detroit style.
There, L.A., it's becoming a thing in L.A. where Detroit-style pan pizza, which they're calling L.A. style now, just right. Because, of course, we're just stealing it.
I've had some good pizza in L.A., too, to be honest.
If you go to the right spots, it's somewhere like Jersey, you can just I'm sure in just any neighborhood or any block, you can get really good pizza.
Yeah, there's more there's more of sort of like the artisan, you know, chefs who are kind of in that gastropub category making pizzas out here. It's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more pricey versus there isn't like the pizza culture that I think is such a big thing in the East Coast. But you mentioned Connecticut. What, Mitch, have you had much Connecticut pizza?
That's where all the pizza places are, Nick. That's what I try to take you down there to do a little pizza tour, but but you know, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to. You want to spend extra time with me? Are you kidding me?
I've done that. I've went to Hartford and did the Pizza Triangle deal. You know, I stopped at a place, you know, a couple of places every time I'm driving from Massachusetts back to Jersey doing a show. I would stop at a Hartford, Connecticut pizza place. And those are like the critically acclaimed, fucking heavily reviewed to got rated pizza places over there.
Right.
So.
What do you think of it?
I think it's good. It's not like they're famous for their white clam pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that continue that like always ranks number one on like the like 100 ranked pizza lists or whatever is that place in Connecticut, which I should know the name of and I can't think of it right now. But that white clam pizza specifically.
Have you had it?
I mean, no, I haven't. No. Fuck Connecticut.
I've had it. I've had it. It's great, actually. And
wow.
And also there's a spot down the street from there, which this is weird. We stopped there on the way home from a show. Right down the street from that pizza triangle of those critically acclaimed pizza places, there's a burger joint, which is the oldest burger joint and first burger joint in America.
Wow.
Oh, shit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of this place.
Yeah, and it has that like that the cast iron, like the things that they cook the burgers in, right?
It just comes on white bread, and they're pretty good, you know. They're open till like 2 a.m. because that's why we stopped there. We didn't want to stop at like a McDonald's or something, so let's go here. It's pretty good. They cook them in those cast iron ovens from like the early 1900s. So
Frank Pepe's,
that's what it's called. But it's almost like a steamed inside, right? Like a steamed ham.
Yeah.
All right, fucking Simpsons reference, man.
I'm just saying. It's a thing that was on the show, and it's how the actual authentic preparation was.
Also, do you think that, like, it's like a thing that, like, steamed hams is, like, the biggest thing amongst millennials? They're fucking eating each other's asses and putting on the steamed ham episode.
They love that steamed ham vaporwave. Right after an analingus sesh.
Maybe it's because Steve Ham sounds like a fucking code word for eating ass.
Maybe it is.
Joey, I was going to say quickly, just a big upside to you. I mean, I know we know from doing this in probably 1/100th of what you've done, or even probably less, but traveling the country, it seems like you've been able to eat at a lot of places. That seems like a good upside, even though I know that traveling is exhausting, especially with what you do. But is that a sort of thing of like when you're going from like state to state, do you pick out a spot that you think is kind of like, oh, this place is well known for this or that, and you try to stop in there?
Yeah, I'm a big weirdo when it comes to that. I'm cool with going out to eat by myself and just finding a well-reviewed, well-talked-about restaurant on the internet after a show and go just sitting at the bar and having a few drinks and eating a good meal. I fucking hate. Like all the guys, they just want to go to Denny's every fucking time, or a Waffle House if you're down south. I want to eat something good. I have the gift of traveling the world on someone else's dime. I might as well make the best out of it instead of fucking going to Denny's every single time. When we did PWG in California, that's the thing. Everyone wants to go to Denny's. And I fucking hate Denny's.
Denny's is not, I mean, I would say the only thing to support that is that we, when Nick and I are traveling, we'll often give up and it will be the like a place that's open late. You're just looking for any place that you can actually sit down and get food. But I'm with you 100% of trying to find like, oh, this place is known to be good here and it's a local place and you get drinks and something. We try to do better than Denny's, but sometimes you just end up at fucking Denny's and it kind of does suck. I agree with you.
Yeah, I told the guys at PWG one time, like two doors down from the hotel, there's a well-reviewed Mexican restaurant that's open at 2 a.m. Let's go there. Let's have margaritas. Let's have fucking this great. I went there one afternoon when I had off. It was great. I said, let's go there. And they're like, no, let's go to Denny's. So it's like, what the fuck?
I understand the comfort of you're traveling and you want something predictable. But if there is just another option right there, I don't know. We've lucked out with some of the spots we've hit up, Mitch, and or we've had. There's a little research in advance has helped guide us. But I'm curious, Joey, do you just like hop on Yelp? Like, how do you find these places when you're traveling somewhere?
Sometimes beforehand, if I see it on a Food Network or something, or I'll go online and read about it and go there. But usually, it's just on the road, going on Google, and then just kind of. Comparing everything else and seeing, you know, going on Google and seeing how many stars it has and then going on Yelp and seeing, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you just find somewhere. Like it's made sometimes it's made my road trips a lot longer than they should have been. So but you know, it's worth it, I think.
Do you have any, obviously travel is a very different thing right now, but do you have from like the past, you know, the past year when you guys were traveling more, you were doing either on the indie circuit or when you were doing AEW shows across the nation, do you have any recent favorites from any particular city?
Not really, because at AEW, you know, the catering is great, you know, so you have catering all day and then afterwards you're getting more free food. So it's really not like, and there's usually an after party somewhere. So we really don't get the opportunity now to go and like I did on the indies, I'm an independent guy. I do the show and then go get something to eat by myself. It's really, that's not the case anymore. So haven't in a while.
Yeah. It's catering is interesting because obviously that's a thing me and Mitch will run into on working on TV shows and movie shoots. And the thing is like, a lot of times it's just, at least on the shows I've worked on, it's shitty. And that sucks because you want to get, like, it's free. So it's essentially part of your compensation. So you want to take it. But then it's like, this sucks. And you get so exhausted by it that at some point you're going out of pocket just to, like, eat something that's not the slop that you're getting fed on set. If you can even, if you even have the time to do that. But that's rad that AEW has good catering.
Yeah, they're catering to Grand Slam every week. That's something everyone looks forward to. And then afterwards, Tony Khan, we always go back to the hotel. He throws a party. This happens every week. And eventually, after an hour or two, he'll order about 100 Whopper sandwiches for no reason. And we'll probably we'll eat 30 of them, and then the hotel staff will give them out to the rest of the hotel staff, whoever's up. But it's always an excessive amount of food with him. It's like, it's just excessive. There's like, there'll be like 18 people partying and then he'll order 300 tacos and we'll be like, all right, whatever.
That rules. That's always, we've talked about this before, Weiger, but if you go to a party and you bring like 20 McDonald's cheeseburgers, you're the king of a party. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're at a Tony Khan party, you're getting 300 McDonald's cheeseburgers for 30 people.
I got to get into one of these Tony Khan parties. Damn. Yeah.
So Joey, I want to ask, because you're as you're traveling and as you're, or even if you're not traveling, like as a pro wrestler, what is your eating regimen before a match? Or like do you have to, because I would always get like a nervous stomach if I was going to like do a show or something like that. So for a long time, I couldn't eat anything. But obviously, like what I'm doing, what me and Mitch are doing is not even like a physical activity. How are you filling yourself up before you wrestle?
I kind of... ever since I started doing TV wrestling and I lost a bunch of weight and get in better shape, I've kind of gotten a grasp of how to eat before a show. Not a lot of carbs, nothing with like cheese or not, just a piece of meat and maybe some rice and some vegetables. Sometimes just a couple protein bars. But back in the day when I was doing the indies, I didn't give a shit. If I was going to do PWG, I'd be at In-N-Out in the afternoon and before I wrestle and didn't care. But now it's kind of like you realize that like if you eat In-N-Out before a match, you're going to look like shit and you're going to be bloated on TV. So you don't want to do that.
Right.
Shit. We do the same thing before Doughboys live shows. We make sure that we're not bloated before we go out on stage.
I can't imagine doing a show and not feeling like shit. That's like, that's my experience every time.
Joe, is there at post shows? I mean, just you know, you're working out, you're burning tons of calories and everything like that. Is that where you then turn it on? Can you eat anything you want? Are you, and you're starving too? I just remember this from when I actually did intense workouts, which I haven't done in like 15 or so years, close to 20 years. But just being able to fucking eat a shitload and just go at it after kind of like after like a big long day of working out or something. But is that kind of, do people just feast? Do you go nuts?
I think everyone just goes nuts. That's what I see. Even the body guys. So just if like I said, Tony Khan is going wild after the show ordering. He'll order Uber Eats and then he'll order DoorDash and Grubhub. He'll order from three different restaurants and we'll just get bombarded with food and we'll all be trashed. So everyone's eating it, unless you're like a Brian Cage. Then you have your meals and your cooler is around your back the whole time. So
Brian Cage, for people who don't follow wrestling, just a huge jacked dude, just super duper shredded.
He looks like everyone, how everyone is supposed to look as a professional wrestler, not this vanilla wrestling paradise that it's become.
Brian Cage has like the body that I would, if I, when I was like a kid and I like draw, I just like drawing big muscles. That was like the kind of guy I would draw. Like that's what I like dreamed of being, of someday having that body.
Come on, Nick, be honest. You still draw.
I've been working at it.
Drawing hunks.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could draw hunks. Save myself some Google searches. You mentioned, Joey, I know also that you are a White Claw enthusiast.
Yes.
I actually have a Joey Janela White Claw themed shirt in my possession, in my wardrobe.
I do as well, Joey.
Hell yeah.
From when we used to see in the PWG days. And I don't want to say to the world what I just saw you drinking, and I won't even say it.
I put it out there. I said these are great. I'm drinking claws too, but I hate Trulies. I hate them. I think they're syrupy shit. But they came out with this lemonade variety pack, and it's just incredible. And it tastes like lemonade.
Wow.
We did a double where we reviewed a few of them, and I had a bunch of them left over, and I didn't love them when we first had them, and then as I was drinking my during these Quincy trivia nights that I do, Wags, I also agree with you. They're very, very good, especially after you've had a couple of them. They taste great.
They taste great. They taste like Mike's Hard Lemonade, but without sugar and the, only 100 calories. So I don't think you can go wrong with that. The White Claws, I love them still, but I've drank them so much that it's just like, you know, you want to switch it up once in a while.
100%.
Do you have a favorite White Claw flavor, a go-to?
I used to like black cherry, then I got into the lime, but then I started drinking the new variety pack with the watermelon and the lemon. I think they're all pretty good. I think the watermelon's pretty damn good, and I hate watermelon-flavored shit. So, you know, they got me with that one. So,
right.
I think it's good. I think I like White Claw. The reason I started drinking White Claw is because I was drinking too much craft beer. And, yeah, you know how that is. You know
yeah.
How
yeah.
Life is. Like drinking a loaf of bread.
Yeah, 100%. I put on so much weight when I used to drink more beer, and it's crazy what subtracting that can do, because it's just so many raw calories. But so the White Claws, all the varietals of you know these carbonated sweetened like a LaCroix variants. Those have been kind of a godsend for you, it seems.
I think they're great, that's. Like, I was the first one to drink them, and I think I went on a date with a girl, and she started drinking White Claws, and I'm like, ew, that's gross. And I had one. I was like, that's not too bad. And then I started drinking them, and then I started posting about me drinking them, and then I started showing up to indie shows, and I would pull up to the indie show, and it would be fans outside early in the afternoon with coolers of White Claw, just drinking, hey, Joe, you want a White Claw? And then I realized that I did something.
Joey, I'm like you. I've stayed away from beer. I've cut out beer quite a bit, which I feel like is a big thing. But then Nick, at the end of the night, I'm blending up a loaf of bread and I'm drinking it like a fool.
Yeah, it was just the White Claws, and then I got Tony Khan into the White Claws, and he got really into it. So now he carries around a duffel bag with White Claws. So even after party, if we go to a restaurant and they don't have White Claws, you know there's a duffel bag of White Claws underneath the table, and that's what everyone's drinking. So that's the official the official unofficial drink of AEW is White Claw. You'll rarely see beer at the after party. You'll have to bring the beer yourself if you want to drink beer, or else you're drinking Claw. Because I pitched a Truly Lemonade to Tony Khan, and he's like, no, we can't do that. We have to drink White Claw.
So. Wow. Tony Khan, we should mention, anyone who doesn't, who may not follow wrestling, billionaire, like it just literally, like, and when you talk about stuff like ordering 300 Whoppers or, you know, carrying around a duffel bag full of White Claw, that's like the kind of rich guy opulence that I can get behind. Because, you know, when it's like the guy who's like fucking, I don't know, like someone who, like, I feel like people are like just like super into like marble or like, you know, like eating like fucking hot, like caviar and shit. Like that's always, or collecting $10,000 bottles of wine. That stuff always is just like, man, that just seems so wasteful. But if it's just like, oh, I can just get a bunch of stuff to hand to people, that seems fun.
Warren Buffett doesn't have a duffel bag of fucking White Claw.
No, I think no. Warren Buffett actually is an Warren Buffett is like a guy who lives in Omaha and like drinks cherry Cokes. He is another like kind of everyman, you know.
God damn it.
Super rich guy. Yeah, you picked like maybe the one example that contradicts your premise.
All right, help me out. Give me some bad give me a bad billionaire, man.
Elon Musk.
Fuck Elon Musk. I don't even want to talk about him.
He's eating metal. He's eating metal and computer parts.
SpaceX had that launch, Nick. There was a launch this just recently.
Yeah, I know.
A rocket.
I couldn't. It felt too dystopian for me to even take in.
We've talked about this, but Tom Cruise is gonna work with Elon Musk for a movie where he's in space, and you and I are very scared because we think that Elon Musk is going to fuck up and kill Tom Cruise.
I'm scared on Cruise's behalf. I love Cruise. And yeah, I would. I mean, that's the kind of, I think, the death that he would deserve in the line of duty, if you will, making a film, doing a stunt that's just so perilous that finally it fells him. But it's, man, I don't want the day to come. I love Cruise.
Yeah, me neither. Joey, I want to say congrats on Double or Nothing, which happened a few weeks ago now. At this point, but you were great in that that big ladder match there. It was an awesome match. Something that just consistent moves that scare the shit out of me, and I can't even flip. You make fun of yourself for being a chubby guy, but you're just doing insane acrobatic stuff.
Right.
And you were known the way Mike Carlson when we went to PWG, you were introduced to us as a guy who kind of took extreme, extreme bumps, and I don't want to talk like I know the business that well because I don't, and I sound like a fool. But do you still to this day do you have this thing where you feel like you got to take it to that next level, or now that you're with AEW, does it feel like a thing where you're like, I don't have to do as craziest things as I used to do, or how do you feel about all that?
Now it's more when the time is right. Back in the day, it was just do it every show. I didn't know why I did it. I just did it. But now it's like pick and choose your poison. And you know, I bring it out. I did a couple crazy things in the ladder match. But if you follow me during my independent run, you know that was nothing compared to what I used to do. Some of the crazy shit getting thrown off buildings or no money or falling off ladders 18 times in one match and somehow getting up and walking around and then wrestling the next 3 days. But now it's pick and choose your poison. And, I'm 30 now and, I need to prolong my body. I'm feeling it. I never felt it. I always like, oh, I'm invincible. No. And now I feel it. It sucks.
Yeah. There's a great documentary on YouTube about you, Joey. That was the first way I was introduced to you, and I don't know the exact name of it. We can figure it out, and please don't die. That's right. Yes, and it's wild. It's a great doc. It really shows you putting yourself out there for your art, and it's really cool.
Oh yeah.
It's cool as hell.
Fun.
Please don't die. They chant that at wrestling shows. They chant that at Doughboy shows.
they chant, please do die.
Yeah. It's people who have it out for us. Why are you buying a ticket? So is there a thing you mentioned, falling off a ladder 18 times. Like, is there something that stands out in your head as like, man, this is one I really regret, or this is one that was like, maybe I took it a notch too far?
Well, the roof one that
went
viral, of course. But if that never happened, who knows where I'd be right now? So it's kind of, if I went back to the past and did that, if I had the choice to do that again, yeah, I would do it again. because it's kind of made me who I am.
Right.
For those who don't know, it was a spot where Joey basically you fell off. How big was that building, Joey? It was
35 feet.
35
Jesus
feet.
Christ.
Yeah.
And it's really something else. And it's in that, and it's featured in that documentary, the Please Don't Die doc. But that led to good things for you as far as in the indie world, correct? That was the sort of thing that
100%. That's what boomed my wrestling career for sure. Was that, because it was so ridiculous, and especially at that time when all the concussion knowledge was coming out and whatnot, they were like, why would someone do something like this?
Right,
Joey, you're also a guy who promotes kind of young and new wrestlers, which is really awesome. That's a thing that. Nick and I are the opposite. When we hear of a new funny person, we saying they get a lifetime ban from ever coming on the pod.
We don't want anyone outshining us. Unfortunately, everyone always does.
Yeah, no matter who is on here. But but that's a really cool thing. Was that just a thing that was always important to you? Is it something that you came up with and you kind of, you know, guys did the same thing for you? Or what's the deal?
The thing is, people really didn't help me coming up, you know, like that. And a big thing with me is, you know, building the future of independent scene, because now with the WWE and AEW and New Japan and everything that goes on in the UK, it's like, you know, people are getting brought up to TV a lot faster than they would say 20 years ago. When you heard someone got signed from the independents 15 years ago, like a CM Punk or a Daniel Bryan, you were like, wow, they got signed. Now it's like, if you make it to a certain level, you know that person's going to get signed no matter what.
Right.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So now it's, I think for me, it's my job as someone, you know, who loves the independents, is to push out new guys, new faces, to keep things going on the independent, so the independent wrestling scene doesn't die, you know. But so it's pretty cool. And it's been happening just organically, you know? So I really don't have to go out of my way to find someone. I just have to give them one shot on one big show. And I know in that moment, they'll make a name for themselves and there'll be a new name in the wrestling scene.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's rad.
That is great. And also it seems very different from the comedy world, where there is, I feel like, so much bitterness and jealousy with people.
Right.
I mean, Nick, you know this is true. I feel like that is just the case with a new person comes in. A lot of the times, like, if a person's funny, they're funny and you're like, oh great, this is great that this person's doing it. But there is a lot of people who get jealous and be like, fuck this person, you know what I mean?
There is a cycle you'll see of like wow, this new person's great, and then that shifts into resentment of this person having what appears to be rapid success however long they'd worked at it beforehand. And then I think a common pattern. It's interesting. I mean, I'm sure that happened. I'm sure that's universal to everything, though. I'm sure that happens a lot. You know, you see someone coming up quickly, and everyone's some inherent jealousy comes out of some people. I think it just depends on
that's a wrestling business as well.
Like Warren Buffett seems a new billionaire, Wagger.
Yeah, Buffett's fucking stewing over much.
That's wrestling as well.
You
know, it happens. People get jealous of someone that's rising pretty fast. You know, that's why I feel like, I helped a lot of guys out. So,
yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think that's really cool. Yeah. That's a big thumbs up for that. That's cool.
While we're on this topic,
we've been the benefit of it too, Wags. Just from
beneficiary. I've seen some of the shows that you, what would you say, that you produce, that you promote, like Joey Janela's Escape from LA. I was at where a lot of this young talent gets in the ring, and those shows are fucking great.
Yeah, Jungle Boy was made in LA from one of my shows, and when I hit up Jungle Boy originally, for those that don't know, Jungle Boy. They're listening. You guys don't have a lot of wrestling fans. Jungle Boy is the son of Luke Perry from 90210. And he was wrestling since he was like 13 years old.
Right.
And he was just a local California indie guy. And we started seeing him really improve and do some cool stuff. So we decided to throw him on the LA show. And before that, he had no social media. I had to flat out tell him, listen, you're going to blow up after this match. You need to sign up for Twitter right now.
Right.
And, wow. And he was like, okay. And then he signed up for Twitter. You know, the rest is history. Now he's on TV every week. So
that's awesome. Rest in peace to his dad, Luke Perry. We saw him at a few PWG shows and things like that. He would come and watch Jungle Boy, which is really cool.
He was a cool dude, for sure. Yeah.
Jungle Boy, R.I.P. Luke Perry, and Jungle Boy fucking rules. I do think I saw him for the first time at one of your shows. The thing about him, like, he's very athletic, but he's just an amazing head of hair. I'm not saying that's his main asset or anything, but you just like that guy's got a fucking mane.
Joey, you got a good head of hair too yourself.
That's it. We're the hair boys. We're snatching up all the women because our hair.
Well, the hair boys would beat the shit out of the doughboys.
That's it. We're the hair boys.
Why are you challenging to the? Why don't challenge the hair boys? Swagger, what are you doing?
Not at all.
To a hair off. We got to challenge to a hair off. We don't fight. Grow it out.
The most hair Weiger and I have is probably on our face, and then the rest of our bodies pretty much looks like a Ken doll.
Yeah, I'm a pretty smooth. I'm a pretty smooth man.
My body below the waist looks like a Ken doll too, by the way.
We'll be back with more Doughboys.
Mitch, did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? You know, before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for more than 15 subscriptions each and every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Wow. Wags, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Doughboys Patreon, the Doughboys Double, bye-bye.
Mitch, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you themselves, Wags.
Wow. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Wow.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/doughboys.
Do it. Today's episode of Doughboys is brought to you by Helix. Wags, I've had a Helix mattress now for 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. It was pre-pandemic, I know that much.
Man.
I know. And you know what? My sleep has greatly improved. I love my Helix mattress. It's like a cloud. Wally and Irma sleep in there together. They love it. They don't want to leave the bed.
Cute.
I don't want to leave the bed. Probably bad for you. You know what? Anytime I'm late here, blame it on Helix.
Wow.
I'm sleeping away.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, Wags, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is a problem for me. I heat up.
Problem for me, too. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Wags, I took the Helix sleep quiz and I was matched with a Moonlight Luxe mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and soft, just like me.
Wow. And not only is the mattress the best you've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy, as you were telling me. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free.
You know what? Ross Kimball helped me set it up. Good guy, Ross.
Shout out to Ross. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, depending on the model.
And now Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/doughboys and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Helix Partner 20.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. What the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen, costs, and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over for the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They told me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh. You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you were worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in doughboys for both the code and password to get six bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password doughboys and grab six bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password doughboys for $100 off your first six bottles. Do it.
Welcome back to Doughboys. Our guest today, Joey Janela, and we are returning to Chili's. Joey, you got a White Claw over the break, a tangerine flavor, which I have not encountered.
Pretty good. Pretty good, to be honest. I like it a lot.
Yeah?
Is that one of the new? It might be one of the newer flavors, right?
Tangerine? Yeah, I think that's in the new variety pack.
Yeah,
they keep them coming out. It's like when it's like Pringles. I feel like now, you know, Pringles just started coming out with like 1,000 flavors, and they'll have like a fucking, you know, like a pizza flavor or whatever. They'll have all these weird concoctions, and some of them hit, and some of them don't. I feel like that's what
there's
that's
too many of those.
Oh, I fully agree with you.
I saw pig cum.
Yeah, that seems like a miscalculation. I don't know who's going to want to eat that.
I got them. And you know what?
Oh, so you saw pig cum on the label and you bought them.
And you know what? They're pretty good, honestly.
Well, then there you go. I feel like you answered your own question.
To be honest, they probably have something like that in Japan. We had when we went to Japan, we had an app on our phone to scan items that we couldn't read, and it would translate it. And there were some of them like pig cum and whatnot that we were like, "What the fuck?" So.
Jesus. when you were in Japan, do you have any like any favorite food spots you'd hit up, or any great meals?
Just all of it's pretty good. If you walk into 7-Eleven in Japan, it's like walking in a gourmet restaurant.
Wow.
pretty
That's
awesome.
So cool. We got to do Japan, not Weiger. We got to do Doughboys in Japan.
Yeah, I've never crossed an ocean, so it's always fascinating for me to try to talk to someone well-traveled. I'd have no idea what to do with myself.
You never crossed the ocean. That's right. No. God.
I've lived my whole life in North America.
Landlocked.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of landlocked. Let's discuss Chili's. So, Joey, we wanted to have you on the show for a while. We're thrilled we can have you here. But why in this specific moment is Chili's the chain that you want to cover?
I think Chili's is my favorite chain, to be honest. And,
Wow.
And I think it all stems from going to the wrestling shows as a kid, like the NWA Jersey shows. NWA was like the biggest independent in New Jersey at that time. And going to those shows and my dad taking me to Chili's. And that's like the first place I ate chicken wings. And I think when I was a baby, I would go to Chili's a lot often. So, yeah, I just like Chili's. I always like Chili's. I like the food. I like the margaritas. And, yeah, it just kind of came to light lately as rumors were spread that me and Jim Cornette enjoyed our time at Chili's together and had a little mandate. So.
Now, for our listeners who maybe don't know, who is Jim Cornette?
Jim Cornette is an 80s and 90s wrestling personality. He was a manager. Mainly, he came to light in the 80s as a big manager in the NWA. And he just hates the wrestling of today. He hates the wrestlers of today. And as far as his list, I got to be in the top five of public enemies for that fucking guy. So... someone asked me about Jim Cornette on one of my Instagram lives, and I told everyone, I said, no, Mid, it's a work. We're cool. We just give each other publicity. We were actually at Chili's last week, and we had a good time. And then someone asked him on Twitter, did you really meet up with Joey Janela at Chili's? And Jim Cornette said, I'd rather get coronavirus than meet up with Joey Janela at Chili's.
Oh, my God. Boy. Jesus. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't survive coronavirus, so.
I'm pretty sure. I wish he would walk into a supermarket in New York City without a mask, to be honest, at this point. But as fucked up as it sounds. But anyways, so then Chili's got involved, and Chili's started messing with Jim Cornette, saying, oh, yeah, you guys were at Chili's, you know. And they were teasing Cornette. They were sending him, check your DMs, Jim. We sent you a free coupon for a margarita. To the point that he blocked everyone and went on a tear. All the dirt sheets picked it up on wrestling dirt sheets picked it up as a top story that Chili's confirms Joey Janela and Jim Cornette had a great time at Chili's. And that's right here. So,
man, that's probably the coolest like a chain restaurant social media move I've ever seen. I like that more than Wendy's being kind of like a hip, funny Twitter account. That's
yeah,
that
too cheeky. Or Denny's was mentioned earlier. Denny's was always recycling memes. Like that was just kind of like, all right, it's kind of an eye rolling. But yeah, Chili's seems like that they're managing their brand pretty well on social.
There's someone cool who did that. That's great.
Yeah, this went on for like 5 days too. So it's not like they just put out one tweet. Every time we wrote a tweet, I would type, and we would team up against Jim to the point that he blocked me, he blocked Chili's, he blocked everyone. So he blocked me for a third time.
It's just funny, like this, like. This 60-year-old man or 50-year-old man blocking Chili's is just a very funny thing.
Like that feels like you've just snapped at that point. If you're blocking Chili's on social media, something has gone very wrong.
He's actually blocked me 3 times. He's blocked me to unblock me to talk shit about me, to block me again, and then he unblocked me for about maybe a year, only to block me again when me and Chili started double teaming Jim Cornette on Twitter.
If my mom was like, like she called me up and was like, I blocked Chili's. They're lying to me. I'd be like, uh-oh. I would be pretty nervous. Let's
look into assisted living facilities, mom. Joey, so you actually have, we normally eat in advance, but you have your meal. It arrived as we started recording, and you're going to be eating some of this live. I guess you were saying it's kind of an ASMR version of the pod. We're going to get a little bit of that.
Yeah, I didn't know the rules. I didn't know if I ate it during or before the podcast. You guys ate your food yesterday, but I had some gentle 85-year-old woman pop out of the passenger seat to hand me this from DoorDash just before wow. we went on air. So.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's get into what we ordered. So I will say that I ordered online and I went to pick mine up. And from the Manhattan Beach location here in the LA area, I will say their text messaging system for picking up is very slick because they send you a text and then you text here when you're in the curbside area. You just literally text them and then they'll bring your food out. It was very convenient and the worker there was very kind and conscious of you know, a PPE and social distancing. I got a Patron margarita, which comes. This is Patron Silver Tequila.
Wow,
Citron,
that's one big road soda there, Weiger.
Well, this is the thing. So they make a point of it being shaken 25 times. And then they put it in a styrofoam cup, but you have to put it in your trunk.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, you can't, yeah, there's the open carry laws, so.
And let me guess, there were some things in your trunk that they couldn't see?
It is a thing where you have to, like, you really have to kind of wedge it in there. Like, it's like a trunk is not a great place for a beverage.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a it worked out fine because I had some
that's
other
the dope,
stuff.
That should be the Doughboy's epitaph. A trunk is not a great place for a beverage.
So it's a little bit inconvenient. I also got a side house salad with their avocado ranch dressing, which is their unique Ooh. Dressing. Original chili, which they describe as, yeah, chili is our thing. You sometimes forget that Chili's has chili.
But it's not their thing. That's not true.
It's not their thing. Well, I mean, they're claiming that it is. I think they began as a chili restaurant when their original Texas locations. They began, that was one of the big things that they were selling. I also got the Boss Burger, which is described as the burger all other burgers report to. It's got brisket, rib meat, jalapeno cheddar smoked sausage, bacon, and cheddar on that. And then a chicky blue sandwich, which is crispy chicken, lettuce, tomato, red onion, avocado, bacon, and blue cheese crumbles on a brioche bun. Whole lot of bun on both of these bad boys.
It's like the asshole boss that people don't want to, he's everyone has to report to this guy.
Yeah, this burger's a fucking dick. It's a taskmaster. And I got an order of Texas cheese fries, which is fries with cheese, bacon, jalapenos, and green onions, and it comes with a little bit of ranch. Mitch, how about you? Let's run through your roster of what you ordered.
All right. This might take a couple minutes. I also did the curbside pickup. I ordered online, and then I got the text message. Drove to Encino, drove up there to Encino, and my order, and I got to say, the staff was great. They did a really, yes. really, really great job. They, like you were saying, Nick, socially distanced, they came up to my car, even before, because I texted that I was here, it just says, say you're here, and you give your vehicle make, basically, and they
right.
just come out and know your car. And even before that, just the guy came and he said, what's the name on the order? And I said, Mike Mitchell, and he went off and I got it probably within 5 minutes or so. I don't think it was done when I got there, but I got it pretty quickly. I ordered some Southwestern egg rolls, Nick, the classic from there, which came with the avocado ranch dressing. I got extra on that. Mine wasn't too green. Was your avocado ranch dressing green?
Not particularly green. In fact, I wonder if I got the right dressing even.
I wondered as well. Maybe there's some sort of avocado shortage or something right now, or I don't know what the deal is, but it wasn't as green as I thought it would be.
Yes.
I got chips and salsa, Nick. I got a bag of chips and some salsa. I did the boneless wings with buffalo sauce. I got blue cheese, extra blue cheese, and extra ranch. A Southwestern smokehouse burger was my entree. And no pink. That's what it said on the order, no pink. Which wouldn't fly in the 90s, but it worked pretty well. What?
Wait, what do you mean?
In the 90s, you want pink. The singer, Pink. She was great.
That's what you were referring to. Okay. Pink is like so many things. I didn't realize you were specifically describing the singer Pink.
I'm saying as a statement, no pink wouldn't have flown in the 90s.
Got it. Yes, people were hungry for pink back then.
I think it was more the 2000s. Wasn't pink more the 2000s?
God damn it, Joey. You know what? You're right. All right, great. Joey's a better wrestler and comedian than me. I guess the wrestling wasn't really a question. I wrestled my freshman year of high school, and then I did it for one day my junior year of high school, and I was done. They paired me up. Joe, you know how you do like those exercises where you'll put like a guy on your back.
Yep.
And you'd run upstairs with the guy on your back. Wrestling is so intense. It's that high school and college wrestling. The sport as a whole is just so intense. And the guy who was the closest in weight to me was this guy named Tugboat. And wow. Tugboat, he weighed like 300 pounds when we were in he was a big dude. And so I couldn't carry, you know what I mean? I couldn't get that guy on my back. I was weak.
He was the other heavy dude, but he was way heavier than you, is what you're saying.
I'm big, but I'm weak. That's the thing with me. I got some boneless buffalo wings, buffalo sauce. Actually, I already said that. The smokehouse burger, and then Nick, I got a dessert. I got the molten chocolate cake for dessert, and also I got two Coca-Colas because it was Sunday and my cheat day, and I drank sodas on my cheat day. Anyways, that was my full order. The molten chocolate cake, the ice cream came in a separate container.
Yes.
And it melted a little bit, but it actually kind of worked out pretty well. But I'll get to that when we're breaking down the food a little bit more.
Yeah, since you mentioned desserts, I also got a paradise pie, which is a chocolate chip walnut and coconut bar that comes with also a little a la mode on the side, a little vanilla ice cream on the side. That I put in the freezer immediately, and it stayed pretty well until it was time, and stayed pretty well put together until it was time in the meal to eat it. Also had some hot fudge and caramel to drizzle over it. As I actually kind of had to assemble it. There was a lot of work to do to put that one together, but it worked out.
There was like a caramelly sauce with the molten lava cake too that you had to pour on, but I think actually more like a chocolate sauce. But it was still great.
It was like as many steps as like assembling like a fucking IKEA bookshelf. Like I had to like do so many things to make this dessert ready to eat.
Joey, at a Doughboys live show, would you ever come out and super kick Weiger and I in the face?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't agree to this.
It's on. Thank you, Joey. It's happening.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Nick, don't worry about it. It will happen. It will be a surprise to you.
So, Joey, you're nibbling on some things as we were talking through our roster of menu items. What did you order today?
So I ordered the appetizer, the triple dipper, which I usually get. It's probably the best appetizer sampler out of all the chain restaurants.
Wow.
It's really great.
Because they have such a great selection of stuff you can get on there. But I went with the chicken wings, regular. Probably the first chicken wing I ever ate in my life was from Chili's, so it kind of brings me back. I got the Southwestern egg rolls, which the weird thing is when you order Southwest egg rolls to go, they're not sliced like they are in the restaurant. They look like actual egg rolls. They're not sliced in half. And I got the chicken crispers, but I got them in the original batter, not the new batter. The new batter sucks. I'm not a big fan of chicken crispers, but with the original batter, it's kind of like a funnel cake-esque batter. I really like them, and I like the honey mustard. I got this, and I got the chips. Chili's, the big thing is the bottomless chips.
Yes.
And if you go in and eat, you can get as much chips as you want and be a fat fuck. So So I got those as well. And
They give you a good portion of those chips, and they put them in a bag, and basically it says toss in the microwave for 45 seconds. It says it right on the side of the bag. I put some of mine in the air fryer, Nick, I microwaved some of them. It works better than you think it would. It really feels like you're at a restaurant and you got a bag of these kind of hot fresh chips. It works well.
They work in the air fryer?
They work in the air fryer. Yep.
Oh wow! Yeah, I'm gonna try that.
I kept my eye on them, and I did a minute and was just kind of looking at them. And yeah, it worked really well.
So, Joe, you have an air fryer?
Right now where I'm at, we do have an air fryer here.
Hell
what
yeah.
What do you like to whip up in that bad boy?
I never whipped up anything in it, to be honest. But
oh, wow.
But I'm going to have to fuck with it. You know?
The chips work really well in it. Anything that like that, it doesn't matter if it dries it out too much. I think that's the thing that I've come like I've learned from the air fryer is basically it can dry some stuff out. I ate some pizza yesterday, Nick, on Sunday for another show, and I put a slice in there, kind of dried it out a little bit too much, but it does a really great job with a lot of things.
Dried it out. It's kind of like a doughboy with a sexual partner.
I don't think it needs to be a sexual partner. I think it can just do it to anyone.
Just be in someone's presence. So I'll say that the Patron Margarita was good. I mean, taking it home was a bit of a pain in the ass because of the trunk reason. But that's not Chili's fault. But had a lot of ice in there, and it tasted pretty good. I mean, it tasted like a Chili's margarita, and I feel like of the chain restaurants, Chili's has pretty good cocktails.
Nick, did it make it from your car to the house, or was it already gone by the time you got to the door?
They actually have it has like a piece of tape over it, like a piece of caution tape that lets you know that it's sealed. That you like have to remove. I guess it's in case you get pulled over or something.
Hey, we should get Chili's to fucking do that to every one of your drinks. This guy spills a lot, Joey.
I am a spiller. I did not spill this. It was a quality drink. The Side House Salad, I just felt like there was no reason for me to get this. I mean, I think it was... the avocado ranch dressing is the issue. Like, I thought that this was going to give it a little bit of something over just like a generic dinner salad, but it didn't. And the produce wasn't anything particularly special. I do like the presence of cucumbers, but overall didn't blow me away. The avocado ranch is such
a dip. Like, to me, just because it comes with those Southwest egg rolls, it just seems like such a dipper. So it's interesting to put it on. Look, and I know ranch goes on a dressing, on a salad, whatever. Is a good dressing for salad, but the avocado just it almost feels like more like a dip to me. So I'm an interesting choice, Wags.
Well, I'll say that that I didn't get much avocado from it anyway. Like it's just like it to me. It might as well have just been ranch. In fact, they might have just given me ranch, but that's what I selected on the app. The chili, I will say, very good. And honestly, maybe the highlight of this meal. Like their Chili's chili is good, and I haven't had it in a while. I don't think maybe the last time we reviewed it, or maybe the first time we reviewed it, which was our very first episode, I had the chili from Chili's, and remember it, and it kind of jogged my memory. It's like, oh yeah, this is fucking great. There's a reason this is their name.
Wow,
yeah,
man, this was our first episode, huh? Damn.
This was our first episode, and then we went to Chili's 2, which is the airport version, for our 250th episode, and now here we are.
Joey, this going to Chili's just reminds us of that we shouldn't have ever started the show.
Yeah. 5 years of our lives wasted.
That is wild. Chili's... I didn't know that was your guys' first episode, was Chili's.
Yeah, we flew to Vegas for Chili's 2, and we didn't leave the airport. We just sat in the airport in Vegas.
Maybe the first people to ever do that in Vegas. Has anyone just visited the Vegas airport? But okay, and then so
flew back.
Yeah, but the I will say of the drink and the starter, the chili was the standout. In fact, even talking about the Boss Burger, I think just was like unga pachka. Had too much going on. So many of the meats just turned into like a. Because it the way it's presented, it sounds like it's ground up with the beef, but it's not. It's just kind of layered on there. So it's just this mushy. The texture is all ooey gooey, so soft and chewy in a bad way. It's not what you want in a burger. And it's just got too much going on. The Chicky Chicky Blue sandwich was pretty good, but I think the blue cheese was like. It just wasn't enough of a presence. I feel like I wanted more of it.
You sound like such a child. You just ooey gooey, so soft and chewy, chicky chicky sandwich. You sound like a fucking fool.
It's called the chicky chicky blue sandwich. That's the name of the menu item.
I know. I'm just telling you that all the other stuff you combine with it, you sounded like a fool. What do you want me to say?
Right. I don't know. Maybe don't insult me. I'm doing my best.
You're mad at me?
No, it's fine.
I sound like a fool all the time.
I think that's why people listen. They just want to hear us sound like idiots. They want to feel better about themselves.
Being a fool is pretty cool. That's what I say. Nick, I'm going to say this. Joey pointed this out.
Yes.
The Southwestern egg rolls, like Joey said, come as like a big full egg roll. And look, travel is also a part of this. Traveling with this food for like 20 minutes, the closest Chili's was about 20. So 25 minutes basically till I got the food back to my place.
Yes.
But when it comes as a full egg roll, I think there might be something where it's just not crispy and heated up as much as it would be with if when it's cut in half at the restaurant. I don't know if they cook it a little bit more after it's cut in two or what the deal is, but it just felt a little bit more. And I ate all of them just as kind of like a big egg roll. And I put one in my air fryer a little later, like the next day or whatever. And that actually helped a little bit because it crisped it up a little bit more. But when it's a big egg roll, it's just kind of, there's a lot, it needs to be cut in two. It's a good restaurant. It's a good app to have in restaurant.
Right. Yeah, I can see that with a lot of deep fried things just don't travel all that well. And that's one reason I got the cheese fries over just the regular fries, because I knew those fries would just probably get soggy. But having all those toppings on there actually helped quite a bit. And I like that it comes with ranch by default, because that helps it from being dry as well. Mm-hmm. I could maybe get rid of one element among the cheese, bacon, jalapenos, and green onions. I could maybe lose one of those, but they are good cheese fries. So Joey, I've been watching you eat wings shirtlessly like a king. I'm curious, how is your food holding up? How's your meal?
It's pretty good. You know, of course, when you, like you guys said, when you order it to go, it's kind of soggy. It's not like the in-house chili meal that you would have.
Yeah.
But this is not too bad. If I was absolutely hammered right now or stoned off my ass, I would be in absolute heaven saying this is the greatest food I ever eaten in my life. But right now, it's still pretty good, to be honest, even though it's a little soggy. The chicken crispers, they're always juicy, the original batter ones. I don't know what it is. You can eat those cold and they'll be great. As long as you dip them in that honey mustard, so...
You specified the original batter. Like, is that a thing you just tell the employees and they know what you're talking about?
At first, when they changed the batter, it was kind of like a secret menu item. But I guess it's the original batter of the chicken crispers was so popular that they People had to revolted. add it to the menu as well.
God bless America, where... Like the batter can change, and so many people will be like, the batter's different, and they'll change it back. It's a great thing, Nick.
Yeah, that's the outrage that will be addressed. I'm curious that but like, why do they even have the new batter if people want the original batter? It's like Coca-Cola still selling new Coke. It's like people have rejected your innovation. Just make the original the default. You don't even make an option.
The new batter kind of just tastes like chicken fingers you can get on a boardwalk somewhere, like for overpriced, you know, value.
Yeah.
But the original batter tastes like probably the best chicken. I'm not a chicken finger fan unless it's Chili's chicken fingers. And I love these chicken fingers.
Yeah. It's a bold move getting both wings and chicken fingers.
I love it.
But they kind of do different things.
Nick, I agree with Joey. There's the food, when you travel, like, it kind of becomes Shrekified. It's swampy. It's got a swamp thing going on with it. And that was kind of the issue I had with a few of my things. The Southwestern egg rolls, for sure. More so the boneless buffalo wings, which I love.
Yes.
I love them, but they were sogged out, Shrekified. The batter was basically falling off of them. And the actual meat was kind of like tough. And that was one of the worst. And I love those. I mean, that's what kind of made me fall in love with Chili's, is those boneless wings. When I was in college, we'd go and get chips and salsa, the bottomless chips and salsa, some frozen strawberry margaritas. And then you go out that night and be too afraid to talk to any woman. That was kind of the deal. and the wings were just a real downside. The chips and salsa were great. And when I heated them up, it worked great. That was really great. They give you some extra salsa. They would if you want, you just order a little bit extra, and they give you a good amount of it because they really. I suggest doing it because they just give you a ton of chips.
Right.
My Southern Smokehouse burger, it was that same thing of come feel like it's coming from a bog. You know what I mean? And on that Southern Smokehouse burger, you got bacon, cheddar, pickles, awesome blossom petals, lettuce, tomato, garlic, aioli, served with a side of original barbecue sauce. I didn't get the original barbecue sauce, which, you know, what can you do?
Yes.
And the awesome blossom petals were, that was kind of the issue with it. They were streckified, swamped out. And so the burger itself, it was still decent, but it was not
yes.
what it would be in store. And look, we know what's going on, pandemic. It's crazy right now, and honestly, the service was really, really good.
Yes.
But for me, the bite of the night, Spoon Man's bite of the night, Nick,
mm-hmm.
was that molten chocolate cake, man. It wow. was fucking ruled. It was so wow. good. I put it in the microwave, and I heated it up for just a, like a, for like 30, 40 seconds. Put the ice cream in the freezer, took that out. It was fantastic. And honestly, if anyone during, you know, during the pandemic wants to just pick up a surprise dessert or something, you can't go wrong with this fucking molten chocolate cake. It's
yes,
great.
Contra your experience, my paradise pie was not a particularly exciting dessert. And I did warm it up a little bit in the microwave. I mentioned all the different steps of assembly that were required. And I think I made it, you know, pretty well, a pretty good presentation, you know, considering my resources at home and my skill in the kitchen. But the bar just didn't have a lot of flavor, and that was like the core of it. But it just felt like I was eating just this kind of inert, like just sort of generally sweet with a little bit of coconut, you know, thing with the texture of a Fig Newton. It just wasn't particularly exciting. And I think if I gotten that molten lava cake, I would have had a better experience. Joey, any other notable things from your notable observations from the meal you're eating in front of you?
To be honest, it's not too bad because before I started eating this, I was sitting here talking to you guys for about what, a good 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just sitting there in the fucking heat. And to be honest, it's not too bad. The chips are still crispy. I didn't have to heat them up, you know. It tastes good.
Wow.
But the Southwestern egg rolls, you know, they're my favorite Chili's item, I think. And they're a little soggy, a little bit of a letdown. But you can't beat the Southwestern egg rolls in Chili's, in the sliced in half, the way they're supposed to be crispy and whatnot. So.
Yep. Yep. Well, Joey, wow. Florida working as kind of like a natural diner heat lamp for your food.
You're right, to be honest. You're right.
That rules.
You mentioned Shrekification, but being in the swamp seems to help this.
Wow. Shrek showed me there, huh? Nick, I'm surprised you didn't have a similar dessert as to what Elon Musk prefers. Like Joey said, the microchips
metal?
And so on. Metal.
Because I'm an automaton? Because I'm a robot?
That's right.
I'm some sort of android? No, I don't eat tungsten for nutrition.
You eat tungsten.
I have a little tungsten.
Tungsten is Chankton's cousin.
That's just Chankton with like a professor, fucking professor suit. Well, it's come to the time in our show where we should give our final thoughts on this week's chain, Chili's.
Ooh, hopefully, we don't have to give a review of this week's show. If we ever had a review shows.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Zero forks for 5 years.
All around. Just a bunch of utensils with no prongs. So, Joey, we will each go around, give our closing thoughts on Chili's, and then give it a rating from 0 to 5 forks. You are our guest. We will begin with you.
Okay. 0 to 5 forks. If it was in the Tokyo Dome, I would give it 5 forks. But since I'm in Lando Lakes, Florida, I give it 3 forks.
Wow.
3 forks, right down the middle.
I can't bash it. It's Chili's. It's too nostalgic to bash for me. But
right.
You know, I also let the food sit out there for a good hour. So I had to give it a fair review because it could be on me.
Well, there you go.
Joey, I like Chili's a lot. Like I said, I went there in college. It's I like the idea of it. If as far as like those kind of like in the TGI Fridays world, and I actually enjoy Chili's. I like it quite a bit. When I was telling people I was going to Chili's, everyone was like, man, I want some Chili's right now. I was telling my Quincy trivia, my Quincy trivia friends on our Tom Cruise Sunday, because we watch Tom Cruise movies on Sundays, Nick.
Wow.
We were watching Risky Business, I believe, the day that I got Chili's. Not necessarily
an action movie. You're just watching a Tom Cruise movie.
Changton wanted to watch Risky Business. We watched Oblivion the other day, which, by the way, for the last 10 years, I think it's one of the top 10 underrated movies of the last 10 years.
People forget about Oblivion.
Oblivion's good.
Risky Business, I think, was Tom Cruise's breakout role, and that movie is fucking horny as shit.
It's way too
crazy
horny.
How horny it is.
Nick, you and I, you know that we're trying to put an end to horniness, you and
yes.
I. The movie is way too horny, and also it's kind of like the origin stories of like a yuppie, like a shitty 80s yuppie man. Like it's like his character sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, my friends were all excited that I was getting Chili's, and they're like, "That rules!" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm excited too." And I got it. And look, the travel was an issue, and it wasn't great. But I still think that Chili's is pretty good, and I'm with Joey. For this visit, I'm gonna go just a little bit higher. I'm gonna go 3.25 forks, because I do enjoy it, and it holds a place in my heart too, Joey. But the quality this time around was just not good. You know, when the countries open back up, Nick, I think it would be fun to go and sit in the Chili's again. I'm looking forward to it because I think a lot of things would benefit from that. I will say the highlights for me, that molten lava cake is great. Pick it up if you got a chance. Honestly, go pick up some chips and salsa. You got yourself an app and pick up the molten lava cake and you're good to go. So you got an app and you got a dessert for a fun family night. So, but overall, not the greatest outing by Chili's. They're doing their best there. Their staff was great.
Yes.
But the food just kind of suffered a little bit. So.
Yes. I will say, and I think my thoughts parallel your guys', is because we all had a similar experience of the food sitting for some amount of time, whether it was in your possession or being transported. I think this it doesn't travel great. It doesn't, you know, it suffers a little bit from that, and it's much better in the restaurant. And also, that's a big part of the Chili's experience, is just like sitting in there and being there and hanging out and having the margarita in the big dumb cup. Like that to me is a lot of the fun of it. So you're
for
just
sure.
really evaluating the product that you're getting. And what I would say,
Nick,
here,
it's like my buddy Nick Weiger. Nick, it's not well traveled.
It's true. I will say that to talk in wrestling terms, I think my issue with my meal is the main event did not deliver. The Boss Burger and the Chicky Chicky Blue Sandwich were just not all that great. They were not particularly exciting entrees, but all the apps overall were good. Everything else I got, the cheese fries, the chili, the marg was great. The salad I mentioned wasn't particularly noteworthy, but it was functional. The Paradise Pie, I'd get a different dessert. But overall, I think this was a good meal. I really liked how easy it was as far as getting to-go food from a chain restaurant. This was like the easiest, slickest system I'd experienced in terms of interfacing directly with a chain. And the service was good. And I think this, it did make me, much like you, Mitch, it did make me crave the actual dine-in Chili's experience. So I think, evaluating in those terms, I think this one is also right down the middle. This is for me. This is 3 forks. This was a 3 forks Chili experience. Chili's
Nick,
experience. Yes.
Why don't I just put it in a 3 fork experience, and we got a hand holding club for the
three of
us.
Wow, we're in the hand holding club. How exciting!
That's it.
Hey, that was our review of Chili's. It's time for a segment. Mitch has a food stuff he's going to taste test solo. It's another edition of Spoon Man's Treat or Skeet. Mitch, what do you have with us today?
Nick, I got two treats here. I got Skittles dips, which can only be described as kind of like, I mean, look, we use cum too much on this show, but there's no other way to describe these things. They're cummy Skittles. And then I got this Mountain Dew Game Fuel. Some
Very
Game
exciting.
Fuel, Nick. Charged Berry Blast. Alertness, accuracy, vitamins A and B to enhance your gaming.
Wow.
Which, should I do both of them or should I just try one? What do you think?
Well, I think that you teased them both. Now I think you have to do them both. I think you can do a combo. Feel free to bust out the Skittles. All Joey, right, as candies go, are you a Skittles man?
I think Skittles are all right.
Mm.
Irma's come over. She's interested in the cummy Skittles for whatever reason.
So they're like Raisinettes, but they're Skittles.
Basically, yes. They're covered in this creamy yogurt flavored coating. By the way, that is exactly what's on the package. It says creamy yogurt flavored coating. You can't tell. You can see it right there a little bit.
Oh, I see the little S on it.
You can't. Yeah, they still manage to put the S on there. You can't tell what color is in there. You can kind of. I think this is a green. Let's see.
So this is part of the eating experience of these. You don't know what you're going to bite until you get in until you chomp it.
Yeah, this is a man.
Mitch is shaking his head vigorously.
I think that was a green. You can kind of see the color.
Yes,
through them, but not really. Man, the yogurt.
That to me seems like a deficiency that you're removing, knowing in advance what Skittle you're going to eat.
I mean, yeah, like, that's the first of all, you'd like to eat a bunch of them at once, which maybe I should try. The yogurt the creamy yogurt flavored coating is a bit too much.
Mm.
It's also kind of like dry, and the Skittles inside are kind of hard. Okay, that was a yellow. Wow, Nick.
Yes.
Not only does it look like Skittles with skeet on them, it's a big time skeet itself. This is not a fucking
wow.
This is not a treat. This is a skeet.
This is one you'd fling into the air and shoot with a shotgun. Mitch, you got the game fuel too. You're wincing. You're actively wincing.
I did like a bunch at once, but there's so much yogurt coating in my mouth. Ugh,
God,
it fucking sucks.
Jesus Christ.
Who wants yogurt on Skittles? Who wanted yogurt on Skittles?
I mean, it seems like a product that no one was asking for. I'm with you there.
No one wanted that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm opening up this Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
A skeet from the Spoon Man. He is opening up the... And I should mention, it's a big can. This is a tall boy.
It is. It's also very hard to open.
Hmm. Now, how much of that is the can's design and how much of that is your oven mitt-sized hands just fumbling with something small?
If you didn't notice here, there's... It's like a futuristic opening can.
That's fucking
a slider.
Weird as shit.
You can actually close it for later.
Ah, weird.
Fuck.
What happened?
I got game fuel in my fucking eyes.
Jesus.
I'm falling apart over here, Wags.
Joey, are you a Mountain Dew guy?
Big Mountain Dew guy. Love Mountain Dew.
Do you like the regular or do you like any of the variants?
I had a Code Red yesterday.
Yeah.
I haven't had one in like 10 years. It was great. I like the Baja Blast, of course. I ate a lot of Taco Bell. Excuse me. I ate a lot of Taco Bell. I think I like all the Mountain Dews, to be honest. The drink of my quarantine besides alcohol has been Mountain Dew Zero.
Wow.
Hell yeah. How is that Mountain Dew Zero? We haven't tried it yet.
It's great. It tastes like Mountain Dew. They have Baja variant and they have regular, so it's great.
Wow.
This whole can, only 90 calories, Nick, which is surprising. It seems like it would be 300 calories or something.
Yeah, it looks like a sugar bomb.
So you can reclose this. It got in my eyes, and I don't know if my... I think my eyes are turning green from the dew. I'm going to try a sip of this right now, Nick. Let's see how it is.
That was a big chug.
It's good.
You took a big old swig. What are you tasting?
It's good. It's got a blueberry taste, almost like an icy, like a blue icy flavor.
Wow.
And it is an energy drink. And yeah, you pull up the tab and you slide it back. It's basically made so that you can, when you're gaming and you want to close it up, you know, so you don't spill everywhere. You know what I mean? If you're, I don't know,
classic gamer faux pas, classic gamer accident.
In Last of Us 2, if you're in a boss battle, you close up the can and you're good to go.
You get a little frantic.
You get a little, yeah, exactly. This is. I'm going to give this one a drank, Nick. It's good. Game Fuel, I'll also give the origins of this. This was just shipped to my house, and I don't know who gave it to me or why.
Smart. Smart to drink that. Good judgment. Do you feel, Mitch, do you feel like you're better at gaming now?
I think I actually do feel like I'm better at gaming right now.
Wow.
I think that I would fucking pwn your ass, you fucking noob.
Whoa, he talks the talk. This stuff really works. Wow, so a split decision, a skeet on the snack, a drink on the drink.
Yeah,
just
a treat.
That was Spoonman's. Oh yes, a treat. I'm sorry, a treat on the drink. That was Spoonman's treat or skeet. Just like a restaurant.
I will say this: terrible combo. Don't have them together. Don't have the Skittles ever.
I think the issue is the yogurt Skittles. I think the yogurt Skittles paired with anything would have been awful.
Yeah. You know what though? I'm gonna take all the yogurt off the Skittles, and then I'm gonna have it for breakfast tomorrow.
You know, you guys have to try, if you haven't yet, the Kit Kat birthday cake.
Wow.
Birthday cake Kit Kats.
Nick likes birthday flavor.
I love birthday flavor. That sounds fantastic. I got to seek that out.
Pretty incredible.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, just like a restaurant, you value your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. Today's email comes from Mitch F. Mitch writes,
huh?
When I was a kid, my mom used to accidentally burn chocolate chip cookies in the oven almost every time she cooked them. As a result, I came to love those slightly burnt cookies and even now, like overcooked sweets. At the opposite end of the spectrum, I like when my Little Caesars pepperoni pizza is undercooked and doughy. That's probably a health hazard, but I enjoy the texture and flavor. What technically wrong preparations do you personally enjoy? P.S. Tell Mitch that by claiming part of his last name as a first name, he is stealing real Mitch Valor. So there you go.
Fuck off, Mitch.
Joey.
I got to say this. First name Mitches are villains.
Wow. They're not your ally. I think they'd be your natural allies.
No, fuck them. They're my natural enemy.
Jeez.
This guy and Mitch McConnell. Hate them both.
Are there any, I mean, do you know any Mitch? Any other Mitchells, like last name Mitchell, who go by Mitch? Because you might be the only one.
Not that I can think of. No, I don't know anyone else. The rest of my family.
So this is just. That's right. Your mom goes by Mitch. Your sister. It's confusing. It's like a George Foreman situation.
I used to wrestle with a Mike Mitchell.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Was he pretty tough?
He was a cool dude. He was a cool dude. He was in pretty good shape. He was pretty jacked up. Pennsylvania
guy. Wow. Yeah, that's kind of a common thing amongst us Mike Mitchells.
Joey, is there anything, any wrong preparation of something that tickles your fancy that you personally enjoy?
I can't even tell you. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's a great question. I'm trying to think of one.
I have one. Mine is burnt hot dogs. A hot dog that's just burnt to shit, I think, can be on the grill or in the in a saute pan even. It can be great when that casing really, really crisps up.
Are you talking like Spawn after he goes to hell?
I mean, that wasn't my mental image. I wasn't thinking of eating Spawn's charred flesh as he's tormented in the devil's domain. But it does kind of look like that. Yeah, it gets really that red leathery texture. But I really like it. I think a burnt hot dog is great.
I feel like I have one and I can't, and I'm not. It's not coming to me, Nick.
Another one a lot of people like is burnt toast.
I don't like burnt toast. I don't like it. I don't like it burnt.
What about burnt cheese?
I do like some burnt cheese.
Like,
you know, for
burnt
sure.
Edges that, of like a lasagna or something.
Yeah,
yeah, that absolutely works. Or if you're making like a you know, like an omelet or a burger or something like that, and then some of the cheese just like comes off of it and hits the grill, gets really crispy.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm into
that. There's some stuff that I like that's like undercooked and will be like a little bit doughier, and I can't think of what it is, but like I feel like with chocolate chip cookies I like them like kind of like less I want them to be doughy and kind of like less cooked. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean,
but I can't think of anything. That's a great question. I'm gonna think on it more, but I can't think of I like my Skittles dips un-yogurted.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I worked on a Skittles ad years ago, mm-hmm. and they call an individual Skittle, Skittles, the company, calls an individual Skittle a Skittles lentil.
You have said that before, and I think it's gross. It's
fucking weird. It makes me think of Skittles as gross.
It makes me think of that like soup. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. But I think because the brand is Skittles plural, they need a term for one Skittle that isn't Skittle. So Skittles lentil.
A lentil?
Lentil, yeah.
That's fucking... I don't like it.
It's fucking weird. Hey, if you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double R weekly bonus episode, join the Golden or Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Joey Janela, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to plug at this point?
I'm glad we can finally make it happen, guys.
Hell yeah.
No, just my Twitter and my Instagram. My Twitter is Janela, and then baby, like the word baby, like a little crying baby. And then my Instagram is the bad boy, Joey Janela. As soon as you click on it, you'll know it's me. You'll see a bunch of sexy pictures of me with my hair down, looking like a complete sex god. Besides that, check me out on TV Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on TNT, Aldi Wrestling Dynamite. That's about it. Thank you, guys.
Hell yeah. Thanks, thank you, Joey.
Hell yeah.
And hey, that'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
Want more Doughboys? Check us out on Patreon. Join the Golden Plate Club for an extra episode every Tuesday, the Doughboys Double, which you can listen to on your favorite podcast app. Or join the Platinum Plate Club and get access to our Discord server, the Doughscored, to connect with fellow Dough fans and me and Mitch. Subscribe for the price of a combo meal only at patreon.com/doughboys. That's patreon.com/doughboys. Want to see the sources for this week's intro? Check the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.